The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 170 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill and I'm joined by a man who is celebrating his 64th birthday today. It's the birthday boy himself. It is Gordon Dalziel. Happy birthday, Gordon. There I go.
Oh, well done. Must have been working that one, Johnny.
I know, exactly. That's very good for
no,
you, John.
No, I tell you, he should have. I would have went another way.
How do you mean?
I'd have played the other song. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me?
Don't worry. Don't doubt him. He's obviously got that as well.
All right, you prick.
So how's it feel being 64?
Old.
Do you actually feel old?
Funny enough, right, I've never felt old in any birthday. Apart for this morning. And I was in the, I went to the gym early to try and rekindle that youth. Mm-hmm. So I got up and I thought, right, okay, John, turn that off. I've backed your Falkirk for weeks now. No, I got up this morning and I thought, oh, may as well try and keep on to the, as much youth as I possibly can. But seeing you get to eight, yeah, it's not a good number.
Do you know who you share your birthday with? You share your birthday with the likes of Flavor Flav.
I don't know who Flavor Flav.
He's a rapper.
Flavor Flav.
No, Flav, as in
Flav.
Flavor Flav.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay, I don't know.
Jerome Flynn. Oh. You do know him. He was from Robson and Jerome.
All right, okay, yeah.
He was Jerome from Robson and Jerome.
Well, I've worked that one.
Theo Walcott.
Oh, Arsenal player.
James Maddison.
Yeah, Tottenham Hotspur.
No, the fourth president of the United States. And a few other people as well. So do you know what else? Do you know what happened on March the 16th, 1962? Have you got any idea? Well, obviously you were born. You were born, you wouldn't remember it. But the Soviet Union announced that we'd launch the Sputnik satellite into space. So that was
on my birthday.
On your birthday. Obviously thought, Daz has been born. We need to send something into space to mark the occasion.
Here's one for tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day.
It is, yes.
And I was born at 5 to 12 midnight.
Really? So you were nearly born on St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah. I wonder what my name would be.
I was going to say, would that change your name?
Yeah, it would be...
Patrick Dalziel.
No, I think it'd still be Gordon.
You probably still would be Gordon. Right, anyway, happy birthday.
Thank you.
If you're celebrating your birthday as well, then happy birthday to you. You met somebody last week who had the exact same birthday as you.
Right outside the show.
Yeah.
But he played football, lad. He was doing a bit of work in here. And he was talking away in Blethern. Nice guy. And then he says to me, it's your birthday next week. I went, aye. He says, so is mine. I went, all right. I said, it's mine.
Twins.
Birthday twins, so happy birthday.
Who do you share your birthday with, John? You got any sort of birthday people?
I think Paul Weller, maybe.
Paul Weller?
I share my birthday with my daughter. We both have the same birthday.
Do you?
We do, yes.
That's interesting, because I have the same birthday as my mum.
Do you really? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Same birthday as my mum, so I don't need to buy her a present ever, because I'm the greatest present she'll ever get. So
But what happens here? Do you... buy each other a present?
Yes, of course we'll do it. I was joking, obviously. No, obviously I get a present. What else have we got here? Oh, in fact, I think we've had some deliveries. We've got some presents for you. In fact, people have sent stuff in. So, John, do you want to bring through the presents? I think John took custody of the presents. I think there's more than one. I think I spied a card earlier on as well. So here comes John with all the presents. So there you are. So what do you want to eat? I think this came as a sort of like...
Right, let's get the card, and then what we do with a card is we open it up and see if there's any money in it.
Oh, that's it. Oh, and you need to read the card, obviously, as well. Because I don't know where this has come from. It just says two dads on the front.
Mango.
What's that say? Mango?
I don't
mango
know.
Mango Sol, is it?
Sol, yeah.
Is that
which Mango Sol?
It's a candle. Oh,
beautiful.
So there you go. Well, somebody's obviously been listening.
Yes, I didn't need to take the lid off you, man.
I was going to say.
I know you were. With my beak, I could have smelt right now.
You smell outside.
I've got to say there's a candle in here. It's a mango one. Oh, there you go. Football, happy birthday.
And what does it say?
We appreciate your business. Lots of love. The whole Asda family.
Asda have sent you a birthday card.
Asda have sent me a birthday card.
Show everyone who's watching on YouTube.
Right, there come on. Can you see it? Come on, John.
Oh, yeah, there you are.
Hold on.
There it is. The whole, as the, and the front of the card, they've obviously put a lot of thought into it. Yeah. Because well, you're a footballer, former footballer.
Hey.
There you go.
So, how good is that? Well done, Asda.
So, Asda, I've sent you some. I don't know who this is from. In fact, I do know who this is from. This is from me and John. Me and John got you something. So there you. We couldn't not mark the occasion.
That's
great. And there's, let's be honest, there's only one thing that we can get you. There's only one thing that we can get you.
I'll need them the nightly bed sheets. right, boys. Love it.
There's your towels, a couple of towels for you. Or is that a towel? I don't know. Oh, there's two towels.
Oh, man.
Oh, you've got a set. Brilliant. Are those the sort of towels that you would generally go for?
Yeah, not my colours.
Why are you doing it like a like a matador?
It's a fucking towel. I'm waiting on John getting underneath it.
There you go. For the man that you know you can't buy for, you can buy towels.
You can buy towels, candle, and you've got a card for Asda as well.
Well, and I just got a phone call from my best wee pal, wee bomber, who's recovering from a wee sort of a illness. And he says to me, pop in, I've got you a nice wee bottle of red. So I've got my candle.
Yep.
I've got a nice wee bottle of red. And I come out, I've got my towels.
You've got your towels. That saves you a trip to Asda this week as well.
Absolutely brilliant. Guys, thank you very much. And thank you very much to Asda as well.
Yeah, oh listen, Asda, I'll be delighted with that.
I'll be checking my Asda rewards to see if something's been added.
I don't want to cheat though. I got the towels from Tesco, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Oh, see, if you want to go in, by the way, they've got a good deals on towels at the moment.
I bet
price.
John, don't encourage him. Please don't encourage him. I don't think we've had a response to last week's podcast quite like anything on this show, to be perfectly honest with you. Loads and loads of feedback, and it's all about towels and dish towels. Wee Scottish guy says, Gordon is the epitome of more money than sense. I'm scunnered by that towel routine. James Adams says, hands down the best start to your podcast for years. Absolutely fantastic. Is Gordon a secret millionaire? He must have a big waste bin outside. What do you do with all the... Do you chuck them...
I chuck everything out, mate.
Right, okay.
Everything. And I shouldn't, because I do it with... I do it with clothes and that as well.
There was a few people, and I do sort of see where they're coming from. It's not very environmentally friendly, Gordon. Like, this is not an environment.
To chuck towels out?
Yeah, I don't think that's not environmentally friendly at all.
What would you do?
Well, you wash them.
No, you could recycle them.
Oh, you could recycle them.
Go
in
your clothes
banks. Sorry, I put them in recycling bins.
Right, okay. Right, fair enough. Right. That's okay then.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, and many, many other people saying you should really wash towels before you use them anyway.
I know, we don't want to get carried away here. I do wash, but the winter's it's a difficult winter.
it's a harsh winter for you.
It's a hard winter, mate.
Yeah.
Mm. Right, and I keep going back to it, and don't tell me to get one of these towel dryer things.
Donna Morgan says, I wish this was a phone-in episode. So many questions. Gordon has a shopping addiction in Asda. I think you might do.
I've got. Do you know? I actually go in sometimes, and I just walk about with a basket, mate.
Well, you walk about and don't buy anything.
I eventually have to get something
for
to go.
The ambience.
Right, so I'll go. Oh, fuck! I'll buy more milk or something like that.
Right.
That's why I can't do. Know how a lot of people do a big food shop?
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Okay. So
because if I fill up my fridge and I'm still getting in and I'm still buying stuff, then I end up throwing lot of food out.
What you do is you buy a big shop and then you don't have to go in every day. That's what people do.
But this, you change your mind every day, don't you? You don't plan your dinner every day, mate. You don't wake up and say, right, see, Monday I'm going to have steak pie, Tuesday fish, Wednesday spaghetti bolognese, Thursday.
I hate to break it to you, Gordon. A lot of people do that. A lot of people are organised.
No. See, anybody that wakes up on a Monday morning and goes, I'll tell you what, Monday's steak pie night. Well, Tuesday or Sunday, isn't it? Tuesday is fish, gammon joint, and a Wednesday. I honestly would put them away.
Right.
I'd do that.
That sums it up.
I can tell you exactly what I'm having for dinner.
Okay, right. What are you having for dinner on Thursday, John?
Thursday is a Spanish beef.
blows my mind. How can you think of what you're having
because
for dinner?
Be prepared.
But do you not like, obviously, like, it doesn't affect me, but like, John's got kids. And you know, you've probably got nobody's probably got a busy life. You're probably taking them to and from like clubs and all the rest that you need to be organised.
Yep. But John, what happens if you wake up on Thursday and you get to Thursday afternoon and you go, I just do not fancy Spanish beef? Right?
Who doesn't fancy Spanish beef? Who doesn't fancy that? It's very nice. In the slow cooker, with a bit of paprika.
I'm not denying it's very lovely. Nice, right? Mm. But come on. Right, what are you having Friday?
Friday, the big shop will get done on Thursday, so then Friday is still TBC.
Right, okay, so Wednesday then, what you got booked
Wednesday,
in?
I've got pizzas, nice easy one on Wednesday.
All right, okay.
Mate, that blows my brains. You could, imagine your life is so shallow that you know.
Shallow?
Yeah, shallow. You know what you're having for your dinner every night.
You go to Asda every day.
Yeah, but I've got a choice of going. You know what? Have a look at that cooked chicken. That's doing it for me right now. I'm taking that with me.
Do you know what?
Right,
I bet you.
I'll look at that.
Do you love a wee whoopsie? Do you love a whoopsie?
I don't know what a whoopsie is.
The yellow sticker.
No, I don't buy whoopsies. Do you know the reason why?
Please tell us. Very excited to find out.
It's a sort of a, just in case somebody clocks you and starts slaughtering you. I don't.
Wait there now.
I don't buy
you
yellow
You just called John shallow for organising his weekly dinner, but you won't buy a yellow sticker in case somebody clocks you.
Yeah.
That's what comes to celebrity, isn't it?
Let me clarify something right here now. It's nothing to do with that, John, and stuff like that. It's just the way the world is now, right? People do. I've had people falling.
He's gone down the whoopsie section.
I didn't even know.
Right. This is a new feature on the show. Have you ever seen a footballer, football manager in the whoopsie section? We'll call it the whoopsie section of the show.
That's amazing.
If you see any footballers or anyone related to football or anyone of any sort of significant fame in the whoopsie section of any supermarket, please let us know.
It does fascinate me when I see people in there, right? Because you can actually tell that they're looking at each other going, don't fucking take that. Don't you dare lift that.
100%. The whoopsie section wars, I call it. I mean, it's like you go to the whoopsie section, right? And then there's a crowd around there, and there's just like, you're like, oh, look at that. There's a wee steak there on special. Look at that price. And then some bastard in front of you takes it, and you're raging. You're absolutely raging. And you're like, scoring them.
I'm falling on my boot. You bastard. Tell me something. I know that sounds silly. Why'd you call it a whoopsie?
Because it says on the sticker, it's like, whoopsie, the price has dropped.
I don't think a whoopsie. I mean, you should know this. This is an Asda special.
I think it's a whoopsie. Not
I think if we just went like the four, the rest of the supermarkets just went for a straight yellow sticker now. I'm currently actually indulging in a whoopsie just now. I've just realised that I've got a bunch of mail in which I got on at Sainsbury's today for £1.80 reduced from £3.75.
Oh, that's good business.
Good, that's it.
See, this is a dilemma for you because you love a bargain.
I do love a bargain.
You love a bargain, but you won't be seen, quote, I won't be seen dead in the whoopsie section.
Do you know something? It's funny because what I would certainly do is if I go round and I see something like razors, for instance, right, which are very expensive, and there's a price drop in them. Oh, all day long, I fill my basket.
So you want...
I'll take...
Are you a sort of, like, multiple buyer of things?
Yeah, like, see if I... Right, I've got a wee sort of thing with jumpers, right? So if I get in and I buy a jumper and I like the fit of it, I'll buy all the colours.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Just all at once, you'll just take them all in?
I tend to like to go back and forward because it makes me feel good.
So, for example, that jumper that you're wearing right now...
I've got that now in cream... blue, black. I don't wear brown, and I don't wear what other colour? I don't wear dark green. Now that's nothing to do with it. It's just,
I wonder why.
Brown and dark green is just two colours that it's never went for me, right?
But I'll, it's because you've got blue eyes, Gordon.
Yeah, but I'll wear dark blue, light blue, grey, black.
So that particular jumper that you've got just now,
I've got five of them.
Right.
And then I've done the same with the hoodies. I went in to buy a hoodie and I bought five of them as well.
But you went back on different days.
I go back because it's like something to do shopping, mate.
Right.
It's excitement. It's got to be there.
Right, okay.
I was in the fort on Saturday before the show.
Uh-huh.
And I walk out and I bought two jumpers and I'm thinking, I don't even fucking need a jumper.
I'm going to ask you a question, right? And to the nearest number that is, you know, a round number, how many jumpers do you own as of right now, as of 11:15, Monday, 16th of March? How many jumpers have you got in your house?
I would say just maybe under about 40 odds.
40 odd jumpers?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I've just got drawers and drawers full of
jumpers.
Yeah. Do you know another thing, right? I have to buy, see the rails that you see in the shops. Right, I buy rails.
Where the fuck do you buy rails from?
Because I have to put them in my spare room, haven't I? So I hang. Yeah,
but where do you buy rails from?
Oh, you got them a good one out of Argos.
Right, okay, fair enough. I wasn't aware.
It's not
something I've ever had to buy.
Yeah, I've got a wee addiction issue. I like shopping for myself, obviously, right? I'm not very good at picking for other people, but...
And what's your turnover in terms of jumpers then? Like, you know, like when you buy the new jumpers, is it a one in, one out sort of scenario?
No, I just, and I end up wearing the same fucking ones. That's typical, isn't it? But that's on about 20 times. I've got certain drawers for certain makes.
Right.
So my one make will be down
in one drawer.
The drawer.
Yeah.
And then I've got certain, if it's thin jumpers, they'll be, round necks will be in the other one.
Right.
And then my hoodies, my collars and all that will be in the wardrobe.
And is it all colour coordinated?
No, that's stupid.
No, that's mental.
You would need to be off your rocker to get down that road. But listen, I'll bet you, people will say, oh, what's he all about, what he buys jumper? You have a look at females. Females love buying shoes and bags.
So your thing is jumpers? So is it just jumpers, or does this extend into sort of trousers and trainers and stuff?
No,
like
I'm more of a jumper man.
You're a jumper man?
Yeah, I like a jumper.
Cool.
Right now, do you know what? Someone in the YouTube comments is going, 23 minutes when they start talking about the football.
Come on, hurry up.
We're actually nowhere near getting to the football yet. We've got so many comments from last week. Hello to Ian Dunlop. Told the missus about the towels after the show. She informed me that she has bin towels in the bathroom, as they're only £7 in Asda.
There you go.
Just Browsing says that you can buy a combined washer dryer if you don't have the space to shove in a dryer. It's not the best, but it does in my one bedroom flat. So maybe a combined washer dryer you could get.
Right, okay. So I'm not going to do that.
Megan says it's Dazzler's world. We're just all living in it. Kaffer says the first 19 minutes of this proves why you're number one. Absolutely hilarious. Hard towels are the best to get dried, especially if you have an itchy back. I can understand Daz on the towel debates. One time I was scunnered, dishes piled up in the sink, I couldn't be arsed doing them, so I went out and bought a new plate to have my dinner on that night. Also, Stephen Miller's a ringer for ECW legend Tommy Dreamer. John,
who's Tommy Dreamer?
Wrestler, think.
Like, actually, do you know what? I've got pictures of these people as well. Keep padding.
Okay, Hard Crispy Till, I'm reporting his hard drive needs checked. That's from Fully Qualified. I'm sticking with the Hard Crispy Till. Gordon has an excellent point. I went to Hong Kong for a month and I was throwing my underwear into the bucket daily. Why? It was costing £6 per item at the laundrette and it was only costing £1 to buy it in a street market.
All day long. Okay, you'll have an itchy backside for the 3 weeks, but
yeah, I mean that's the thing.
Tommy Dreamer, do you want to see Tommy Dreamer?
Do I look like Tommy Dreamer? I don't think I look.
No,
like
that.
I've had a shave this week as well. So
You're looking fresh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you know what? I got new carpets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what I do is, if I walk on a carpet once, I just get new ones, obviously.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a nightmare last week because the carpet fitter came in, got the carpets delivered on the Wednesday. He was coming on the carpets delivered on Tuesday. They were coming in on the Wednesday to fit them. And the guy was like, right, that one's for the bedroom, that one's for the living room, that one's for the hallway. And I'm like, aye. And he was looking at the bedroom one. He was like, that's not going to fit, mate. I was like, what do you mean that's not going to fit? And he was like, that's too small. And I was like, I was like, it's the right, and I checked the receipt and all the rest of it. And I was
measured?
Like, well, that's, I was like, it's measured and all the rest of it. He was like, oh, sometimes they just measure it wrong. He was like, that's not going to fit. And he took his measuring tape out and he was giving it, and he was like, that's at least 3 feet short, mate. And I was like, so what happens now? And he was like, oh, you know, sometimes the guys who measure it, they just like make a mistake or whatever. And I was like, but I measured it. So basically I measured my carpets wrong.
Oh no!
Yeah. So I had to get a whole new carpet for my bedroom.
Oh Jesus. What,
so hold on. What happened to the...
The old carpet?
Yeah.
Well, that just got taken back to the shop.
And did you get your money back?
They didn't charge me, so I got off lucky there. But
or was it your bedroom?
Yeah.
Just get another wee bit of carpet and join it underneath the bed. Nobody sees it.
It's not a fucking jigsaw, Gordon.
Are you telling me carpet fitters don't join carpets?
They do join carpets. Well, yeah, go then. It would have been a bit of a pain in the arse, would it have not?
No, really, if you're good at your job, mate.
So
and
anyway,
you just hide it under a unit or a. You know what I mean?
The problem was the length. It was the breadth. It was the width. The length was fine.
Put a rug down. So, a big rug.
So basically, they got fitted this morning after a disaster.
All good then.
So it was all good. Yeah, exactly. More lookalikes. What we got here? Darren Lynch says, congratulations to Stephen and John. Any other time if Falkirk and Dunfermline or John against each other at Hampden, I'd have looked at it and went, that's a good semi-final. Tune in as the derby will be a bit of needle. Then I've forgotten about it until the day of the game. Now, thanks to the podcast, I'm all in on the fixture. I've no connection between the two teams from other side of the country and I'm absolutely buzzing for the build-up in the aftermath. You've made it box office. And that's the thing, Darren, what you need to realise as well is that all the pressure's on Falkirk. All the pressure's on Falkirk. They're expected to win. No expectations that Dunfermline are going to win. We're the championship side. So, you know, it's all on Falkirk. If they don't win, it'd be a massive bottle job.
You're building it up already. Don't
a massive
stop
bottle
it.
Job. You know, it was amazing. I bumped into Brian Graham. He was in doing Super Scoreboard last week. And I was like, oh, so what do you make of the semi-final draw? And he was like, oh, yeah, it should be a good game. I was like, well, all the pressure's on you, Brian. And he was like, but I could tell in his face.
Whoa,
I was getting
to him. Was a bit
he
nervous.
Fancies us, by the way. He fancies us.
Oh, of course you do. Oh, I mean,
hold on a minute.
John, what I'm going to say is, right, you're the only Falkirk fan that I've heard of or I've spoken to who doesn't think this is going to be a total cakewalk. No, I mean, the Falkirk, and you know this, John, your pals, You think you're in the final already? You think
it's
done and dusted?
Of course.
You don't. John, I'm not saying you. I'm not saying you. But I know for a fact you have told me that all your mates think it's going to be a total breeze.
No,
you're in the final already.
Stephen, you are lying. You are a liar, sir.
No.
A liar.
They booked a town hall.
They have, exactly.
Don't you join in as well.
Got the bus booked and all the rest.
Don't you join in as he's lying.
So... all the Falkirk fans think
shut
we're in the final already.
I see what you're doing here.
And, you
I
know,
see what you're doing
And
here.
As you're saying, I could tell for Brian Graham. He thinks it's going to be a walk in the
no,
park.
No, he doesn't.
You
know.
Just said he really fancies us.
He'll fancy us.
Ah, yeah, exactly.
He thinks it's done and dusted already.
Listen, Falkirk, massive favourites. An overwhelming favourites. Disco Dave says, the Dazzler looks like Mo from EastEnders.
Aye, okay, John.
Big Mo.
Okay, Stephen, I don't think we need that volume of laughter.
James Jenkins, I think Stephen looks like Stephen Hendry. I don't think I look like Stephen.
Nah.
Big that face.
Nah.
I don't think so. No. George Robertson says all your nerve endings are in your feet, and that's why Vicks on your feet works. All your nerve endings. Did you put Vicks on your feet? Right. Anyway. Let's 24 minutes into the podcast. We should probably talk about football at some point. The past week, Stephen Robinson is the Aberdeen manager, no longer at St Mirren, and we'll get to his first game in just a wee second. Hibs have confirmed the exit of Martin Boyle at the end of the season as well. And lots of other stuff, including Celtic and Rangers both releasing statements. But it's all been said. Let's get to the football then, and let's start on Saturday, and let's start with Celtic 3-1 winners against Motherwell. Motherwell. Motherwell taking the lead. At half time, Motherwell had nearly 60% possession against Celtic. But Celtic came roaring back, obviously. Got the goal just before half time. A couple of goals in the second half as well. We'll get to the penalty incident and all that in VAR WTF. But what did you make of the game, Gordon Dier?
Big 3 points for Celtic, obviously. Must win. Martin O'Neill had come out and basically says, look, we can't drop a lot of points now. Our title race is finished for us. It was a bit edgy because when Motherwell were taking the lead, and then Motherwell gave Celtic back the gift that Celtic gave Motherwell right before half time, which is massive. Because I think getting in 1-0, obviously, the confidence is high with Motherwell. And then the penalty decision really changes and turns the game.
Of course, yeah.
From there, when it goes 2-1, there's no way back for Motherwell.
Yeah, and the thing is with Motherwell as well, obviously the goals they conceded, they'd be gutted about. But they've been playing like that all season.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like this is not a new thing.
But to be fair, right, excuse me, if you look at the two goals in the first half, Celtic gift Motherwell the goal because Tati gets caught in the ball and it's a great finish. And then Motherwell overplay it. But that's just the way Motherwell are.
They've been doing that all season.
Exactly. They were in control of the game at Celtic Park the last time. Remember, and the goalkeeper made a hash it. But that's just the way Motherwell are, and they'll continue to do that. And then, obviously, the big talking points. Apparently, kick. Minute is 2-1. Game over.
In terms of the title race, you know, Celtic do seem to... They had such a tough run of fixtures in terms of away fixtures, at Ibrox twice as well, away to Aberdeen, they were away to Stuttgart in the Europa League as well. Then they take on Motherwell, who, all right, got beat last week by Dundee. However, still Motherwell, really decent side, been on a decent run. They've come out of this wee run of fixtures looking very, very, very... Yeah. In a good position, anyway.
Certainly are, and obviously the situation, they're carrying a few injuries as well. I don't feel sympathy for teams like Celtic Rangers that carry a few injuries, because look at the squad, look at the wages, everything they've got compared to the likes of Motherwell and Falkirk and teams like that. So you've just got to go on with it. Yes, there's a lot of big hitters missing, of course there are, none bigger than their captain, but the one player I will give a lot of credit to, I thought Yang... Mm-hmm. At the weekend.
But even since Martin O'Neill's come in
again. Yeah, for some reason he seems to be playing very well under Martin O'Neill. I think more at Celtic Park. I watch him at Celtic Park. I think he's now becoming very direct. He's playing with a lot of confidence, gets a couple of goals. He was man of the match at the weekend. So he's hitting form at a good time, because obviously Celtic need their wingers. But there's a lot of football still to be played. But you look at the top of that league now, oh, it's tight, isn't it?
It really is. And it's tight because Hearts, I should say, went to Kilmarnock and lost on Saturday night. So it was 1-0 to Kilmarnock. First of all, I thought Kilmarnock were excellent.
Yeah.
Fully deserved their win. And it makes it really interesting at the bottom of the table. We'll get to that in just a wee second. But in terms of Hearts, sticking with the title just now, they're not going to win all their games to the end of the season. They're still top of the league by 2 points. You would take their position over Celtics or Rangers.
Yeah, well, Martin O'Neill said that in his press interview, didn't he? He says, I'd rather be top of the league. But they're in a good position. So are Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, everybody will be looking at Hearts next game and thinking, oh, is that the bubble burst? It's a massive game for them, isn't it?
However, they have, whenever they have lost this season, they have bounced back.
Yeah.
Their away form, though, must be a wee bit of concern. They've lost the last 3 league games away from home. And obviously they're going to have 3 away games after the split as well. So they're going to need to sort that out if they're going to win this title.
I fancied them at Robbie Park. I really did. Especially after Kilmarnock having to stew in that 5-1 drubbing with Falkirk 2 weeks prior. All credit to Neil McCann. He got his set up right. Great attitude. They were on the front foot and deserved it. They scored 1 goal and hang on.
Yeah.
They deserved their 3 points, come on. And you've got to say, massive 3 points for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because obviously that puts them level in points with St Mirren now, who obviously lost to Rangers yesterday in terms of the title thing. So, again, wasn't a classic at Paisley yesterday at all, but Rangers will not care. They got the 3 points up the road and it keeps them right in the hunt for the title.
Oh, yeah. It's all about right now. With the run in, it's all a performances, it was terrible game, wasn't it? It was terrible. But it's solid, just getting 3 points. Everybody thinks going to St Mirren would be a difficult game. They're not in great form, lost their manager as well. I think they're, see watching them yesterday, I think they're in massive trouble. Well, they're in massive trouble, but...
I mean, they're far enough away for Livingston. Like I think Livingston are still doomed.
Oh, they're in the I think St Mirren's...
You think St Mirren for the playoffs?
Yeah. They've got one player, the lad Gogic, who I speak to nearly every day at the school gates. Right, no, okay. School gates, his kids are in the same class as my grandkids, so I see him nearly every day. But his attitude, see if the St Mirren could bottle that attitude and put it into the rest of the players, they'd have a great chance. But I'm sorry. And I read a couple of quotes from St Mirren fans talking about, you know, a good performance, bit unlucky, and they were making a positive out of it. They were fucking terrible.
Terrible. What would you do if you're Keith Lasley and you're the CEO of St Mirren?
Go and get a manager.
I was going to say, but who? Who you want?
I don't know. They must be looking at someone. I think they need a bit of experience.
There's a lot of chat about Stephen McGinn. Obviously, he's first team coach at Falkirk. Yeah. Would that rule him out for you then?
Know what I would do? I would go, and I'm saying this because he's a personal friend of mine, but I know his experience and all what it is. I'd go and get Billy Davis from now at the end of the season.
Okay.
Right? Someone, I know people say, well, he's not married, but he was at Morton and he's done all his badges, he's got more qualification and he's a fantastic coach, preparation's great. From now to the end of the season, just to steady the ship, to see them in the Premier League and then make a decision going forward, I would certainly, no disrespect to the coaching staff that was there yesterday, right? I wouldn't be going with that.
Okay.
I wouldn't be, and I'm not being disrespectful to him. I just think it's too big an ask for the guys.
I think Tony Docherty as well has been linked.
Yeah, but Tony went to Ross County and
had a nightmare.
You know what I mean? I think, look, see if Tottenham Hotspur right now can be talking about the likes of bring Harry Redknapp back in to the end of the season, and people are going with that. And the reason they're going with it is because of man management experience. I think right now, and Lasley knows Billy Davis for his motherhood days, so he knows how good he is, right? Right now, from here until end of season, just to go steady that ship and give them a bit of breathing time. Because, McGinn, for instance, learning his trade under John and be learning a lot there, because John's a terrific manager at Falkirk. Is that the right environment to throw him in? We've seen it before. You look at interim coaches, Peter Leaven went in at Aberdeen, struggled to win a game. It's very difficult when the pressure's on that you're looking at a club and thinking, we could get relegated here.
Do you think, in terms of Stephen Robinson, it was an absolute no-brainer for him going to Aberdeen? He's obviously won the League Cup, 3 top sixes in a row. Yeah, it's not going as well in the league this season, but they have won the League Cup. Him going to Aberdeen, no-brainer on his part.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised. I'm not buying into... All of a sudden, he became top of the list right away. And
do you think they panicked?
100%. I think everybody in Scottish football can see the panic. Right, because, big question, why not get him 3 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Right, if he's your top kiddie, he's the one you want. And by the way, I think Stephen Robinson deserves a crack at another job because of the jobs he's done, not just at St Mirren, at Motherwell, he's done a good job. Yes, they were... The league campaign's been dreadful, but they're still in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup as well. So I'm not against Stephen having that opportunity to go to Aberdeen, right? But if he's your man, Aberdeen basically, pardon me, they shit the bed, didn't they? They get put out with the Pars, and all of a sudden they're sitting down there in ninth. They can't win a game, and they're thinking, right, oh, let's get an idea here. Let's get somebody in that knows the Scottish game quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Burrows works with the man at Motherwell for years, knows him inside out. Panic, 100% panic. Nobody will tell me any different. Aberdeen panicked.
Just finally on Rangers then, they're 3 points off the top. As we said, it wasn't a classic game yesterday. They will not care. Danny Rowles keeps saying about, you know, that was the first of 9 cup finals that we've got between now and the end of the season. you know, if they keep grinding out victories, they won't be far away. But will they be able to keep grinding out victories?
Yeah, that's a problem. But we've seen Celtic doing it, didn't we? Scoring late, last minute winners and not playing well. As I said earlier, it's not about how you play. It helps, of course it does, but it's about getting over the line. No, the biggest mistake I think Rangers made in the transfer window, and I said it the minute they done it, I would not have let Curtis go to Kilmarnock. I would have played in front of Kassama all day long.
Yeah, Kassama had a bit of nightmare yesterday.
By the way, tell me the last good game he's had.
Yeah.
And the two up top, Chirmiti against Hearts and Celtic, I would just play him in the two games. Right, because apart from that, he does nothing else. And the lad Nadiri, or is it Nadiri, yeah, right? Somebody needs to tell me what he brings to the party. And I know that all you need as a goal scorer is the first goal. And I've been waiting for Chirmiti to be that guy. He has Hearts, brilliant hat trick, Celtic, overhead kicks, magnificent. You're thinking, here we go, right? Worth every penny, the 8 million. Unless that gets sorted for me, I don't think Rangers win the league.
Okay. Romans obviously was the guy who got the goal, who I've actually been quite impressed with.
He's decent.
A very decent signing for them at left back. So there you are. That's the title talk all sort of wrapped up there. And you've already said you think St Mirren favourites for the playoff. And in terms of other stuff, let's go to Aberdeen Falkirk. Falkirk pretty much guaranteed top six now, barring an absolute disaster in the final three games. It was a 1-1 draw. They managed to scrape against Aberdeen. I'm not scraping your arse. I've told you that before, John.
I've got a couple of tools here, boys, if you want to get involved
and
in that.
And that was obviously all tied in because Dundee United somehow managed to chuck away a two-goal lead in the Dundee derby, which we'll get to in just a wee second. But in terms of Aberdeen versus Falkirk, obviously really fortunate. Aberdeen's first goal mistake by Scott Bain, and Nisbet sort of falls in.
It's a year of the goalkeepers, isn't it? This season will be remembered for the year of the goal. I said that in Super Scoreboard on Saturday. Yeah, get shot down in flames, okay, I'll accept that. But the goalkeepers this year, my God, see if you put out all their mistakes together. It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, even across the weekend, I suppose, as well. So, Barney Stewart, Scotland squad gets announced this week.
No.
Nope, not
no,
for you.
No.
Really?
No, he's not. Listen, I would love the lad to get an opportunity. I really do. I think it's a fairy tale story. It's brilliant. I think he
was in under 21 squad.
I love the way the boy's going about his business. He looks confident. He's a goal scorer. But I just don't see Stevie Clark going down that road.
The thing is, there is a gap up front. You can nail in Shea Adams. You can nail in London Dykes. He's going to be in there. You can nail in Lauren Shankland, I think, if he's fit. That does leave a space. You've got George Hurst, who's been in. You've got the boy Tommy Conway. I know, what's his name? Ollie McBurney's having a decent season for Hull. Barney Stewart must be in that. Well. Kieran Bowie, of course. But Barney Stewart must be in and about that chat. He's got, 16 goals this season?
I think he'll be in about the chat. But look, I keep saying it. I'd be delighted. I wouldn't be going, oh, that's a terrible decision, right? Because I think you get the guys in, especially goal scorers. See, guys that are in form are scoring goals.
Yeah.
They can't wait for the next game to come. Doesn't matter if it's an international.
Do you not bring them in for the friendlies, though, Daz, and just have a look at them, like Steve Clark gets a look at them in and around the friendlies and give them a wee run out there? And if he doesn't make the squad, why not take, you know, like I think England have done it in the past, take these young players
and
take them over to America to, like, experience and being in and around the squad if they've got a future. But I think give them a shot at the friendlies.
Yeah, but listen, I'm not arguing the point. I don't know about Steve Clark. I think Conway, for instance, he's playing in the Championship, Middlesbrough. Are they top or second to Coventry?
They're certainly up
there. Yeah, well, they're one or two up there. I've seen you go a week or so ago.
He's got eight goals.
Hurst is having a good season as well at Ipswich, you know.
Yeah, so I don't know if he'll just think that, you know, with a lad just bursting onto the scene, is it a bit early? I would love him to take him even in.
Hurst has got 9 goals.
Right, even take him in and say to the boy, look, I'll tell you what, I've no plans in playing you just now, but as John quite rightly said, come in and have a look at what you're aiming to achieve here and give them that excitement to say, if you keep doing what you're doing, this is what you're going to achieve. You're going to come here and you'll get the feel of seeing how Scotland work and the manager and how they prepare, and obviously training with the quality of players that he'll be training with.
Do you know what I like about him as well? Is I think he is different from everything else. I think his movement's really good as well. He always seems to find himself in a wee bit of space. He's good. And also, how many strikers nowadays are really good with their head?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's excellent.
Yeah, good.
He's excellent, like, at finishing with his head.
His goal at the weekend, but take nothing away. But the cross was, like, McNiverson.
It was, but some of the goals that he scored with Dunfermline as well, with his head, like, brilliant, brilliant headers. And obviously, like, he's got so much to thank Dunfermline for.
Oh, shut up.
You've coached him really.
I can't believe this is a hands across the divide, Stephen, when we're both agreeing that Barney Stewart could have a shout for Scotland.
I genuinely think he should be in the... He should be in the conversation, and you just and I think, you know, him.
Do you think he will be?
Yes, right. I think he will be.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. Me personally, right now,
I don't know if he'll go to the World Cup, but I think you see for these friendlies.
I agree with that.
So who's you got to leave out, Bowie?
I think maybe.
For the friendlies, I think he gets in for the friendly squads, but I don't think he goes to the World Cup.
Right. Well, hold on. If he goes in for a friendly squad, if he's brilliant in training, does well.
But they might go in and be like, right, he's still a wee bit off it.
Yeah.
Which is probably the most likely scenario. But I just like, he's obviously got him and Falkirk have got so much to thank Dunfermline for this season.
And
it's great to see him doing well. He's a nice guy.
I can't wait till he scores against you in the semi-final and watch your tears.
Listen to you. Like, you think it's won already?
I think it's won already. I saw Callum Morrison started scoring as well, which gives me the fear.
Great finish. 0-0 between Hibs and Livingston on Saturday. Fourth successive draw for Livingston. They need wins, though. They're still done. Hibs, bizarrely, they'd obviously be disappointed with drawing at the bottom of the table, but they've actually gained points on both. They've gained a point on Motherwell, and they're still keeping Falkirk at arm's length as well. So they'll be relatively happy looking back.
Okay.
No, I think they will be. I think
if you're playing Livingston at home.
Aye, but I think it could have been worse, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, it could be worse.
And then finally, a big game at the weekend, Dundee 2, Dundee United 2. I mean, Dundee United were so comfortable, I thought.
Dundee United, probably the second half was the most one-sided Dundee derby I've seen for a long time.
Dundee United, total control of the game.
What happened?
They've drawn 13 times this season, and then they absolutely shat the bed. To borrow a phrase that you used earlier on.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
Ross Graham, nightmare, gave away the free kick and then heads it in his own net. It's just been that kind of season for Dundee United, though. And as I say, like, that's them obviously done for the top six now, because it's 9 points. They need to make up 10 goals. Hope Falkirk lose all their games, which obviously would be amazing. But they're not going to get into the top six now.
Top
six is gone. And to be fair to Dundee, they'll be coming off absolutely bouncing after that.
I don't even think Stephen Presley was standing there thinking, we'll get a point out of this.
No.
They were second best in every department. And Jim, I seen his interview after it, he just looked a manager gutted. Yeah. Absolutely gutted, thinking, how am I going to get to sleep
tonight?
See, as
a manager, like, you've been a manager, that's probably happened to you, I don't know. But, you know, when you think the game is done and dusted, or you're so in control, you're so comfortable, and then players just start doing stupid things. What do you think? What was going through your head at that point?
Oh, it's the worst feeling in the world, because
there's nothing you can do.
You can't control it. You cannot control it. You can't control the situation. And especially when it gets to that time in the game. For instance, what is Ross Graham doing, giving that free kick away, first and foremost? And then you're thinking, that's his most stupid free kick in the world to give away, but go and defend it, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right? And it's him that sticks it in the back of the net. But I don't know why. See, when I looked at it, what is he thinking? It's not like he's under severe pressure, is it?
No.
The ball just comes in the box. It's a good finish. I'll tell you what, if the manager felt bad, he certainly felt bad.
Aye, exactly. Exactly. Right. A big Dundee derby there, and it finished 2-2, but really no good for either side in their quest to get into the top six. Both will be playing bottom six football come the split. Right. Championship then. And on Friday night, it was Morton 1, Partick Thistle 2. 10-man Morton, in terms of the penalty, obviously we won't do this in VRWTF. Ian Murray was absolutely livid after the game. I'm not entirely sure why, to be honest with you. I thought it was a penalty.
What?
I thought it was a penalty.
Oh, my arse.
I thought it was a penalty.
Oh, never. Look, I shout it from the rooftops for Partick Thistle against St Mirren. I thought it was never a penalty kick. A penalty kick and a red card. Never in a month of Sunday. A worst decision I've seen for a long, long time. No, there's more coming up.
Aye, there's more coming up.
Aye, the worst decision I've seen for the next minute and a half. Right? But
I genuinely thought it was a penalty.
It's never a penalty kick.
Okay, well, it was, and they scored it. And a very late winner, Alex Samuel getting the late. And what about on the line as well? I mean, Morton should have got a 2-2 draw.
I know.
It was unbelievable. I actually...
Wilson's riding his luck.
I was doing something on Friday night, and then I flicked it on the last 10 minutes. So I actually got I got all the good stuff.
You get the exciting bit.
But
so a lot of things I flick on for the last 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Big tells.
That's why you go through so many tells. Morton won Partick Thistle 2, so it keeps Partick Thistle in the hunt for the title, because St Johnstone beat Ross County by a goal to nil. Ross County are in big trouble. Big trouble at the bottom of the table. But St Johnstone, obviously a massive game. It's this Friday night, isn't it, John? Partick Thistle versus St Johnstone.
Yeah,
is it Fir Hill?
Is that Fir Hill? Yeah.
Is that Fir Hill? So that is going to be a huge game. So that'll go. I think, put it this way, if St Johnstone win on Friday night,
it's over.
It's curtains.
Yeah.
However, if Partick Thistle manage to get 3 points, that cuts the gap to 5, and they've got a game in hand as well. So it's a must win for Partick Thistle on Friday night. Huge game. I think a draw, St Johnstone would take that right now as well. Mm-hmm. But they won on Saturday against Ross County. Ross County dropped to the bottom of the table. Queen's Park continued their decent run as well, getting a point at home to Ayr United. Scott Brown's bound to be under a lot of pressure as well. No wins in 5 for Scott Brown at Ayr United, and they're now 4 points behind Dunfermline in the race for the playoffs, because Dunfermline recorded their third 3-0 victory in a row.
It was against
Raith Rovers on Saturday. 4 clean sheets in a row, 4 wins in a row as well. And I tell you what, Raith Rovers are in big, big bother as well.
What was really the crowd there at the weekend?
It was about
8.
Nah, it was just under 7, I think. It was a really poor away support. Probably 600-700. But they're having a shocker. So really, really poor performance, particularly in the first half by Raith Rovers. He took Dylan Easton off in the second half to Gymri. There's obviously problems there as well. And yeah, I mean, 2 very late goals to put the icing on the cake for Dunfermline, but Dunfermline thoroughly deserved to win, and that's as poor a Raith Rovers side as I've seen in a long time. But, you know, looking at the bottom of the table, they play Airdrie this weekend.
Raith Rovers at Starks.
If Airdrie win, they'll go above them. Well, they'll be level on points, goal difference, unless they win 8-0.
But can you see Airdrie winning?
Well, that's the thing. Airdrie drew with Arbroath on Saturday, so picked up another point. It's all very tight. From Raith to Ross County, there's 4 teams there. Raith and Morton are on 30. Airdrie and Ross County are on 27. It's any 2 from those 4. I think Queen's Park are going to have enough. I think Queen's Park will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be doing all right. But those 4 down... And I tell you what, if I'm a Raith Rovers fan, I'm worrying, because they look like they have chucked it. A lot of the players look like they've chucked it.
Sad to hear.
And by the way, like, I don't want Raith Rovers to go down.
But they're in the final of this...
Challenge Cup or whatever.
Challenge Cup. Who have they got in that again?
I don't even know. I don't care. It's the diddiest of diddy competitions.
No. Is it Inverness they've got?
It's Inverness.
John. Aye, they beat Ayr.
I'll be... Hamden will be mobbed.
Is it for him? I don't want Raith Rovers to go down. Like, I like playing Raith Rovers.
It's a derby.
Adds a wee bit of excitement. And I really hope for their sake they don't go down, honestly. Like I do. So Raith Rovers in big trouble though. And we'll see what happens over the coming weeks. In terms of League One, Hamilton lost at home to Queen of the South by 3-1. It was 1-1 between Inverness and Cove Rangers. See, the goalie scored for Cove as well. It was the goalie.
that scored.
Oh, right, in the last kick of the ball.
It's the year of the goalie.
Year of the goalie.
So, Cove Rangers goalkeeper equalised on Saturday against Inverness. It was 1-1 in the other Fife derby between Kelty Hearts and East Fife. It does Kelty Hearts really no favours, looking fairly grim for them. At the bottom of the table, they are 5 points adrift at the bottom. Still not won at home all season as well.
Big question in that league. Did Dick come out?
No, Dick wasn't out again.
Dick wasn't out again.
Dick was kept in.
What is, I know, what is going on with
Saturday? It was Pink who did the interview again. So
you need to get Dick out on Saturday.
I know, that's the thing. Like, I've missed Dick.
Well, especially on a Saturday.
On a Saturday, that's, you need Dick.
You
and
need,
like, it's just, it's so sad. I've gone another weekend without Dick. Yeah. So
we're dickless.
We've been dickless for weeks now.
I know, exactly.
That's the problem.
Get a grip of yourself.
We're dick famished. That's what we are. Stenhouse Muir beat Peterhead by a goal to nil. And what about this game? It was the BBC Alba game. I'm sure everyone was watching it. It finished Montrose 5, Alloa 4. What a game that is. Yeah. Defence is on top. So here's how it stands in League One. Inverness remain top of the table, but they are only top on goal difference because Stenhouse Muir also have 53 points as well. They do have a game in hand. Inverness and at the bottom, as I mentioned, Kelty Hearts are 5 points adrift. Coon of the South look like they're pretty secure in the playoffs now. They are 5 points clear of Peterhead, who are in fifth. Right, East Kilbride slipped from the top of the table, and that is because they lost away at Stranraer by 2-1 on Saturday, and Spartans managed to beat Clyde 2-1 at home. So that means Spartans, no, they didn't slip from the top of the table, they slipped up from the top of the table. That's really poor wording that you've put there, John. Very poor wording. They're still 2 points clear, but Spartans do have a game in hand, so if they win it, they'll go above them. Elsewhere, Forfar beat Stirling Albion by 3-0. 1-1 between Elgin and Dumbarton, and Annan beat Edinburgh City by 3-0. Edinburgh City now are 6 points adrift at the bottom of the table. Let's get to some refereeing decisions, shall we? Right, let's start with Celtic versus Motherwell. It was a red card, it was a penalty, it was a foul on Maeda. Thoughts, Gordon DL?
Correct decision. Where the big debate is, I watched it this morning again, right? And I'm looking and thinking now, I think John Beaton is a very good referee, right? I really do. But John Beaton's got the best view in Celtic.
How is he not given that?
I don't know. And what would worry you here is, and there's one or two decisions been given, and you think only because of the VAR, the right decisions came to the fore. If we didn't have VAR, he's not giving a penalty kick for
I think that'd have been staggering. But I think we've spoken about this on the podcast all season. I think the referees are not, they're not getting lazy, but they're almost like, oh, I'm not sure, I'll just let VAR decide.
Stephen, I am the biggest supporter of referees, right? Because I think they do such a hard, difficult job, right? And they've got big decisions to make, and they've got VAR in their ear and everything like that. And I do agree, I think they're letting VAR referee the games and they're taking the easy way out. But I think this year, I'm finding it very hard to stick up for our referees. I think their decision making's terrible.
By the way, just to sort of balance that up, it was Matthew McDermott who was the referee at Dunfermline Raith Rovers on Saturday, and I thought he was excellent. I thought it was a great game. He was letting the game flow, like all the decisions. There was a couple of bookings on each side, no complaints.
Do you think that's because they've not got that pressure of VAR?
I genuinely think it might be. Like, honestly, there was a couple of fouls that Raith committed, but he let the play go on and he went back and booked one of them. And it was about 2 minutes later as well. And I was just thought, he let the game flow. I thought he had a pretty good game. I could even see how he was interacting with the players and stuff like that as well. And I was like, fair play. I was like, it's one of the first times this season I've thought, I've actually got no complaints with the referee at all. I thought he had a decent game. Obviously, there's a couple of decisions that I thought, right, okay. But that's to be expected. But I thought generally, I thought he had a really good game. So just in the interest of balance and fairness, I thought I would give him a wee shout out to Matthew McDermott. So there you are. Right, so right decision, penalty, no complaints for you then.
No.
Right. Hibs Livingston. This was a shocker. So still a penalty. And it was overturned. How did he give a penalty in the first place?
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
What?
VAR.
What's going on there?
If VAR's not there, he's given that penalty kick.
It was one of the most ludicrous decisions I've ever seen, because it was so not a penalty. So not a penalty.
Do you think you get caught, the referee get caught on the wrong side? Because obviously,
possibly, but even then, Jesus Christ.
I know. Look, we eventually got there, but I keep going back to it. If we had no VAR, we're talking about two massive decisions at the weekend, and one could have defined what's going to happen at the top of the league.
Yeah.
Right? And one could have happened with the bottom of the league.
Because, we'll get on to that, because Braga brought down in the box, but he got up and kept on going. Now, I think it was David Dickinson who was the referee. I thought it was a penalty. I think it's a penalty.
Right, but...
And the fact that he got up and kept on going...
He didn't really get up. He didn't really get down.
But he got tripped. Like, I think he got tripped.
There was contact.
Yeah.
Right.
If he goes down, he's given a penalty.
I think I would probably totally agree with you in that, but...
But that doesn't mean it's not a foul.
I know, but I think that the referee and VAR are looking at that thinking, if we give a penalty kick here, he's not went down.
But that's not...
I know, but... Do you know, I've watched it a right few times. I totally agree that if he goes down, I think the referee's pointing to the spot, mm-hmm. right? But when I see the contact, I don't think, are there enough on that contact? Because he's going down to play for a penalty, isn't he? Whereas there's not enough in that contact to literally put him down, if you know what I mean, because he keeps going.
But it impedes him. Because if that hadn't happened, he would have been right in. He would have had a shot away.
There was absolutely no chance that VAR and the referee were going to give a penalty when he never went down. Not a chance.
I think that's...
There's not a chance.
I think it should have been a penalty.
Because what they can say is, well, there's not enough contact there for him to get down, which was fact. So you still can have contact in the box.
I don't know.
You're not having it?
I'm not having that.
John, what are you having?
It's going back to what you were saying about re-refereeing games, isn't it? So if the referee's not given the decision,
but the thing is,
on the park,
but John, like, I totally get the whole not re-refereeing a game, but the referees aren't even refereeing the game to begin with. That's the problem. They're falling back on VAR.
If he went down, it's a penalty. I think he's getting a penalty if he went down.
Right, okay, but should he have got the penalty because he doesn't go down?
Yes, he probably should have.
Yeah, probably. Right, nothing much happening in St Mirren Rangers. Dundee United, Simon Murray handball.
Come on. Well, hold on a minute. St Mirren Rangers. I've been looking at Gogic.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
your pal.
Yeah. And I've got to say, I am hating the handball rule because I watched the Party Thistle one. I watched the Dundee Simon Murray.
I don't think either of these are penalties. Like the Dundee one, that's not a penalty.
I agree with that. But if you're giving penalty kicks for likes of the Dundee one,
mm-hmm.
then I'm sorry, you need to give a penalty kick for Gogic one.
Yeah, no, I agree.
To understand what I'm saying here,
of course.
The consistency of the decisions is what is really getting to supporters, right?
Yeah.
I hate the handball. I totally agree. We've seen a normal day. I don't think any of those players can do anything about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you go by this letter of the law and the hand where it is and everything like that, then referees giving a penalty at Dundee, I think you've got to get... If you're going to be consistent...
I think you're right.
It's a penalty kick.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, that's... I mean, St Mirren obviously got lucky last week with the... Yeah. Penalty as well. So
how it reversed it?
Yeah.
Thistle got a penalty kick on Friday night, shoot, and then St Mirren got off with one yesterday. Mm.
Well, there you go. Right, you can always leave your comments on anything, as per usual, on YouTube and at Big Football Scott as well. Let's play Who Dares Wins then. So it's me against Daz. I am currently leading. I'm currently going to beat 16-11. So there we are. So whoever bids first, they go first, obviously. And if they nail it, they get the point. What is this week's topic? It's me to bid first, John.
This week's topic is all about St Mirren, actually. Since the turn of the century, they've had 14 full-time managers. How many can you name?
And it's me to go first.
Yeah.
Seven.
You can name seven?
Aye.
How many have they got?
14.
I'm just trying to put them all together here. Oh, eight.
Nine.
I don't think I can do 10.
You out?
Can you do 9?
Yeah. Easy. Easy peasy.
I'm out then. I think 9's hard, mate.
Nine is hard.
Right. Okay.
Right, Stephen.
Okay, Stephen Robinson.
Yep.
Jim Goodwin.
Working your way backwards.
Danny Lennon.
Oh, you've jumped a few there.
Yeah,
I know, that's Gary Teal.
Oh, Gary good Teal's one, I had that.
Alan Stubbs.
Yeah, they're five.
Gus McPherson.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ian Murray.
Yeah.
Oh, nine could have been easy.
What's that, me on eight?
Seven.
Alex Ray.
Alex Ray, yep.
And last but not least.
Yeah, well done.
We'll go for Tom Hendry.
Tom Hendry?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. That is right at the start of the sentence. Oh, well done.
I managed against Tom Hendry.
Well
so
done.
And the only reason I know that is because Dunfermline got promoted in 1999-2000 and St Mirren won the league under Tom Hendry. So I knew he was the manager.
Well done, Stephen.
Right.
Who did we miss then?
Right, so you've got
I think we can work this out.
You're working your way back.
Tommy Craig.
Tommy Craig is in there, Daz, correct.
Oren Kearney.
Kearney was before Goodwin, yep. Who was before Alan Stubbs?
Who was before Alan Stubbs?
Actually, do you know what? I've actually listed an interim manager, so it's actually only 13.
John.
Right,
hold on.
Tommy
Craig in there, we had...
You're only missing two now. We're discounting the interim.
What's his name? Jack Ross.
Jack Ross, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really, really tough one.
Can you give us a time frame?
September 2002 to November 2003.
So somebody who took
over. I was managing in that time.
Aye.
Is it not like, is it John Connolly or something? Or?
It's John Coughlin.
I
remember him.
Yeah,
I've never got him, but I remember him.
John Connolly was the guy at St Johnson. So, there we go.
You close the gap, mate.
Point on the board. Question time for Daz. You can ask him anything you want. DB Boy has given us a shout this week. It's a question for you, Daz. It's a philosophical question, kind of. If Luke Littler raced Mo Farah in a 5K. But every 1 kilometre, they had to check out 501 on a darts board. Who would win?
Luke Littler all day long. Luke Littler all day long. And he could take as long as he fucking went out there running. I can't see wee Mo. Hold on, do you have to finish in a double?
You have to check it.
The snooker player all day. Darts player.
You think.
John, shut up.
I don't know. Like,
hold on, they had to take out 501 every what?
1 kilometre.
Ah, that's five fucking 501 checkers. Not a chance.
I think that's tough.
Wee Luke could fucking walk bouncing his fat ass. He wouldn't even need to run.
So you think no chance for Mo Farah?
Absolutely not.
What if he's fucking good at the darts?
Oh mate, the mobot. Come on. Do you know what the biggest problem would be?
Mm-hmm.
Probably the... If he even was good at that, the checkout, the double would fucking kill him.
You know what it's like playing like round the world? You're trying to hit that bull for fucking ages.
Exactly. Wee Luke would just waddle up in his jeans, his flip-flops on, his vest, his arse, and his belly hanging out with a burger in his horn. Boom, boom, boom. Right, okay, Mo. I'll come back and get you.
Straightforward. If you've got any other theories, any other questions,
I don't know.
any other questions for Daz that you can get in touch on DMs or on social media at Big Football Scott. You can leave your question on the YouTube comments as well. Let's finish with a quiz then, shall we? I tell you what, it is finally poised because it is 16 all in the quiz.
Oh, that's good.
16 all. So,
as long as we don't have a...
I was shite last week.
You were.
It's Daz's birthday. You're going to let him win.
I mean, you're probably giving him the questions. There was another suggestion of that.
There was accusations being made. I saw that on the YouTube comments. How dare they?
I'll tell you what. If you're giving me the answers, give me the ones to this fucking thing here.
Right.
See what you see.
Right. Are we ready?
Right. Okay. Here we go. Right. Question number one.
Mm-hmm.
What club did Kieran Bowie join in January?
Yeah, okay, we've all got that.
Oh, am I just switching off a timer, am I? There you go. Verona. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
scored his first goal the other day.
Yeah, he did.
There you go. Is that, did you know it was Verona because of Shakespeare? That's.
What?
You into Shakespeare?
No, I'm not into Shakespeare. Why? Do I look the kind of guy that's into Shakespeare?
Well, one of the Shakespearean plays is
In Fair Verona.
In Fair Verona.
Is it? Our tail.
I'm not that sort of a. Nah, I'm not really into.
You're not into Shakespeare?
No, I've never been into Shakespeare.
Romeo and Juliet, have you seen that film?
I've never seen Romeo and Juliet. Romeo and Juliet.
We got taken to the cinema by our school to see Romeo and Juliet.
The Baz Luhrmann.
They took us to the cinema to watch that.
I would honestly leave that school immediately after
it's
that.
It's quite good, actually, the Baz Luhrmann version of Romeo and Juliet.
Why don't you read a bit of Shakespeare ahead of next week?
And another thing I could never do.
The Merchant of Venice, read that.
The ballet and everything, opera. See, opera. Fucking hell.
I couldn't take opera.
Who invented that, man?
Italians.
They just come.
Have you ever heard the play Waiting for Godot? It's effectively the play about nothing. Now I went to watch it, and it was like Patrick Stewart, right? Captain Picard, and Ian McKellen, Gandalf, in Edinburgh, doing it. And my wife convinced me to go it. And she walked out halfway, and I thought, I'm not walking out halfway.
Because I bet it wasn't any cheap.
Oh, it wasn't cheap, but it was like... It basically,
wasn't it? You didn't get a whoopsie ticket for that?
Was that a Saturday or a Sunday?
A Saturday.
Right? What'd you have for your dinner?
Anyway, we'll get some Shakespeare on. Do you know what? Daz would make a good Shylock, I think.
I think so.
What's a Shylock?
You'll need to do some reading.
We'll get you to
do some. Well, in fact, actually, it's Gabs that's on next week because I'm here.
I'm
in Germany.
For?
I am going on a wee football weekend. So I'm going to see.
Germany?
You heard it.
Yeah, well, I was saying.
I'm going to see Borussia Dortmund versus Hamburg on Saturday.
Nice.
The yellow.
You're in the Westfalen?
Yep.
Then
we're going to see, because we're in Dusseldorf, we're staying in Dusseldorf. We're going to see Dusseldorf versus somebody on the Sunday. But I don't know who. Can't mind.
Germany's nice. Is the weather nice just now?
Dusseldorf. I checked. It's to be about 15 degrees and sunny.
How far is it from Dusseldorf to Dortmund?
About 45 minutes on the train or something.
The trains are shite. You'd be better doing a Luke Littler and doing a 501 check.
Get there quicker.
Hertha Berlin, Stephen.
Oh, right, okay.
Hertha Berlin. There we are.
Okay. Right. Come on, John.
Okay, next question. Question number two. Right, who was Aberdeen's first foreign manager?
Oh, fuck, I can't remember his name. Hold on. Oh, I forgot his name.
You what?
Yeah, but I've not spelt it right.
Right. Okay.
On you go.
Go.
Ebbe Skovdal.
What have you been? That's Skovdal, isn't it?
That's
I couldn't spell it right, mate.
I'll let you off since it's your birthday.
Well, give you his.
You knew that.
Yeah, no.
Remember, Ebbe did the red arrows where they all went like out. The whole Aberdeen team were outside the box. They'd all run into the box at the one time. They used to call the red arrows.
Some of the stories about Ebbe Skovdal are absolutely mental.
Are they?
I don't know how I've remembered that.
I can't remember who I was speaking to. It was somebody like Darren Young or something like that. And they played under him, and he was just like he was mental. Absolutely mental, like just chain smoking all the time.
He
said he used to get all his phrases like muddled up and all the rest of it because obviously, like, he's Danish, English wasn't his first language. But they still love him, like, they love Ebbe Skovdal. Is he dead?
He passed away at age of 75 back in 2020.
Oh, they didn't spell that in his gravestone.
Yeah, Daz wasn't in charge of the inscription.
Fucking hell, man. Where was he buried? Buried? I'm sure he's around about here somewhere.
Question number three
is a who am I?
Okay.
Here we go. Here's your who am I for this week. During my career, I played for only two Scottish clubs, although I did have a loan spell at Everton. I won 13 major honours in Scotland and have also been caretaker manager twice at two different clubs. Who am I?
I've got that.
During my career, I played for only two Scottish clubs, although I did have a loan spell at Everton. I won 13 major honours in Scotland and have also been caretaker manager twice at two different clubs.
I've got that, mate.
You've got that?
I think I have, in the sense that the two caretakers is a problem for me.
Is it?
Yeah. I've no got it then. Have you got it?
I think so.
Who's the second? He was a caretaker.
I don't know who it is either. But I think we've both got the same answer.
All right. Okay.
Do you?
Yeah. You've gone for
Ian Durant, Daz.
I have gone for the correct answer, which is Ian Durant.
Is it Ian? Who there was the go. Second club?
Is it Dumbarton?
Dumbarton.
Oh, I wouldn't have got that. Yeah, but I only got it because of the loan spell. Because Walter was at Everton when he was down,
right.
Didn't he? Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, that's a good one.
There we go. Guys, it's flying today. It's 3-3 and we're into question number 4.
Don't have a screen one, John, for
right. How many Scottish Premiership managers have been in their job for more than 500 days? How many Scottish Premiership managers have been in their job for more than 500 days?
More than 500 days?
More than 500.
More than 500 days? What, at that club?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm just fucking guessing here. It's not a lot, is it?
No.
What are you going for?
I only went 4.
You went 4.
I went 3.
Both wrong.
Is it 5?
So wait a minute. John McLean.
Yep.
David Gray.
Yep.
Jim Goodwin.
Wrong.
Oh well.
Derek McInnes.
No.
He's
joined in the summer.
It's only two. John McGoin and David Gray. There you go.
Jim Goodwin mustn't be far away.
It can't be far away, but that is.
I want a VAR check on that.
For fuck's sake.
I want a VAR check on that.
No, John.
Jim Goodwin.
We don't have VAR.
Jim Goodwin must be a correct answer. Because he took charge towards the end of the season. They got relegated. Had a full season in the Championship. Had a full season last year. And has now nearly had a full season this year. Jim Goodwin must be a correct answer.
John, you've got to stick with your own answer.
No.
Hold on. I need to go to Pie and Bovril because this is where I got it from.
You have fucked this, John.
I don't think I have.
John, don't give in to him.
Jim Goodwin must be a correct answer.
Shit, he's right.
Oh,
no, that's not
perfect. Yeah, exactly.
Thank
you.
Sorry, I missed Jim Goodwin.
Check
other ones.
Who else did?
No, that's it. I just skipped over Jim Goodwin.
You're so sweaty today.
I've been good today, actually.
Well done, John. You put me one behind you.
There you go. Awesome, it's 4-3 then, isn't it? 4-3. Right, do you want to go for your top bin, Daz, or do you just want to
is my top bin a good one, seeing it's my birthday?
I would say it's all right.
Hold on, are you winning 4-3?
Aye. Mm-hmm.
Right, I'll go top bin, John.
Top bin. Right, on your birthday. Here we go then.
A birthday top bin.
That's another question about one of your fellow pundits.
Fuck.
It was out with us last Saturday night. What was the last club Scott Allen played for?
That is not a top bin question, John. That is simply not a top bin question.
Hold on. Repeat the question.
What was the last club Scott Allen played for before he retired?
To the nearest 20, what's the fucking capacity of East End Park?
Because you're a Dunfermline supporter.
I think I've got this.
That's a joke top bin.
That's not a joke top bin.
It is?
No.
It is a top bin.
The pebbles on. Will you still feed me?
I think it's hard for Daz.
I'm 64.
Well, it's clearly not hard because he's probably got it. What he said. Fucking hell.
What have you written?
I've wrote Kelly Hart.
That's not a top bin question.
It's his birthday, Stephen.
You should have said Scott Allen. Last played for Kelly Hearts. How many appearances did he make for them? That's a top bin question.
That's hard, though. That's too
of course
hard.
It's hard. It's a top bin question.
By the way, I was actually thinking, did he play with East Kilbride?
he's a coach there.
He's coach. I don't know if he's registered as a player now, Scott.
That's it.
You've probably got that wrong as well.
Is that me finished?
5-4.
5-4, but I have still got a question, so I can either go for a top bin.
No, don't. Go for a normal one, we'll go tiebreaker.
Right, I'll go normal, go tiebreaker.
Right,
let's do
okay.
that.
Okay. And this is an easy one as well, Scott. Stephen, you'll get this. Who were the last team to beat the Scotland men's team? Who were the last team to beat the Scotland men's
team? He's a tartan army. That's terrible.
Greece.
There you go. Simple C.
I wouldn't have got
that. A tiebreak.
Right, tiebreaker. Here we go.
Here we go.
Right. Hold on, John. What was his top bin, just in case?
What team was Dunfermline's biggest league win over?
See, that's. How's that the same as who was Scott Allen's final team?
Well, what's your question? You support Dunfermline, mate.
Biggest league win? I don't even know. Hamilton.
Stairsmere. 11-2 in 19.
No, I knew it was Stenny.
There you go. Everyone knew that.
Right, is this a numbers game?
Yes, this is a numbers
it
game.
It often is when it's a closest to.
Right, closest to. Podcast favourite, Dick Campbell.
Oh, no.
How many clubs has Dick managed? Dick has done a lot.
I like how you pretend to write sometimes. You're like, ooh. You're trying to lure me in. Ooh, I'm just pretend to write.
Right, okay, unveil your answers.
9. And Daz 7. Has gone for 7.
Fuck's sake.
Is it 8?
It's fucking 8.
Right, no.
Hold on.
Right. I'm nearest.
No, right.
Right,
I'm nearest.
No.
You start at 1, 2, 3, 4, 7.
Who can
eight.
check out at 5-4-1?
No. You bring the dartboard in. Here's how we decide it. Right. We'll go back and forth until somebody gets a wrong answer on the teams that he's managed.
Oh, that's good.
I'll let you go first. Right, so we'll go back and forth.
No, because you know every fucking team.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No,
obviously.
I don't. I took a weak punt.
Right, I've got all the teams that he managed in front of me.
So you go first. You go. You're the birthday boy, so I'll let you go first. This is how
no, I'll get this wrong then.
Right.
Okay. I'll go. Obviously, Pars.
Yeah. East Fife.
Arbroath.
Forfar.
Partick.
Brecon City.
Bastard. Many's that.
There's two more on the list. Two more on the list.
Hold on.
So we've had Dunfermline, Brecon, Partick, Forfar, Arbroath, East Fife. There's two more.
I'm thinking Montrose, but I don't know if he's managed Montrose. Do you know the two?
I think I know one.
Hold on, somewhere down here, he managed in the Thingwee Belt.
The Thingwee Belt?
The Central Belt. Hold on.
You're looking at the teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us a second, John.
Right.
Give us a second.
Tension music's going back on.
He's not managed any or any of them. Did you say Forfar, aye?
Aye.
He did.
Right, I'm actually thinking he's either went Montrose. Oh, no. Do you know it?
No, I'm about 90% certain.
He's not managed St Johnstone.
I'm 90% right. certain I know.
I'm all in Montrose.
Montrose.
Final answer.
Yeah.
To decide the quiz. That he's no managed Montrose. I would have said Cowdenbeath.
And you would have been
bastard.
Correct. There you go.
Is that it?
That's it.
Who was the other one?
Ross County.
Ross County.
I've never got that.
Yeah. There you go.
On his birthday.
Right? On your birthday. On sorry, birthday. Dad. Sorry, Dad. But that's me taking a 17-16 lead. There we are. Thank you very much. That was very enjoyable. That was a good quiz, John. Well done. Apart from the absolute fucking joke.
Yeah,
that was
sorry,
his
that was
question.
Mad. That, I mean, we got that correct.
And the Jim Goodwin one that I had to correct, John. I had to go to VAR.
What one did you have to correct me? I just got the good Jim Goodwin.
Jim Goodwin?
Yeah, that was the only one. Yeah. The rest of the quiz was fine.
Oh, that's all right then. I'll just double check everything
right,
then, shall fine. We? Right. Anyway, as I mentioned, I'm not here next week. I'm in Germany, so Gabs will be here and very ably sitting alongside Daz. And yeah, that is just about it from us. So, Daz, have a very, very happy birthday. Hope you've enjoyed your morning so far.
I have, and I'm going to enjoy my afternoon.
Yeah, you're away for something to eat and a wee bit of comedy and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I'm going
to
Oramore tonight.
Great, excellent. And you're going to take your towels with you?
Towels are going with me.
People will be asking
just
if you've got your towels and all that.
Piss myself laughing.
Don't forget your card for Asda as well. And yeah, remember, Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the air every single night and Sundays now as well for you to have your say on all things Scottish football. So make sure you join the guys every single night from 6 o'clock and at the weekend as well. And I'll catch you in a couple of weeks, but we're back next week with another big Scottish football podcast. Catch you then. Bye-bye.